Greetings, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and you are listening to a Mind of God program brought to you on www.thinkaboutit.org. Today's date of the recording is September the 5th, 2010. And on the Mind of God, we endeavor to have the mind of Christ, the mind of God, that we may look into the circumstances of the world and understand with supreme knowledge and supreme understanding. We are yet endeavoring to organize for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. My beautiful sister Venice is my producer, my helper, my engineer, my facilitator, my coordinator. If you have any questions, email me at yahlove@comcast.net. YAHLOVE, yahlove@comcast.net. And let us now, as African people, give thanks and praises unto the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. So we say, we give praises unto the Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, he is referred to as Yahweh. In the African Arabic language, Father is known as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the Native American tradition, the Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. And we also give praises to our wonderful and beautiful and precious Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She is referred to in the book of Proverbs, in the feminine, and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokma, and that word is feminine, describing a feminine entity, in this case the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Our mother, the Holy Spirit, did not only conceive Jesus, but she conceived you, me, us collectively, the whole of creation and the universe as well. Mother, Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your and my mother as well. The mother of creation, the mother of the universe. With aid of the Father, Father of creation, Father of the universe, they have come together to give birth to us all. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of our mother, the Holy Spirit, is Ruach HaKadosh. The word Ruach, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, that word Ruach is feminine, describing a feminine entity, in this case, Mother Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of our mother, the Holy Spirit, is Illa, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And that word Illa is also an African Hebrew word as well. And our Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu Illa, Illa, Ha'il, Allah. And you hear Illa, and you hear Allah, because mother and father have come together. Mother and Father have come together to give birth to you, give birth to me, the human family, the whole of creation, and the universe. In Egypt, our mother, the Holy Spirit, is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the Native American tradition, our mother, the Holy Spirit, is known as the great and the grand mother. So I greet you, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, the Uhuru family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African, Hebrew, Revolutionary, Messiah, Jesus, the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua, HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Jah Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. So, we say, and we know, that Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say Jah Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. You and me, we are the I and I and Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari, because Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your and my personalities, thereby making your and my names the new names of Jesus Christ, because we are all divine manifestations of divinity being manifested in divine flesh, in the divine physical realm, on this divine earth, in this time of divinity emanating from divine, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that Christ in the last days would manifest and would come again, but in the manifestation of the Jesus people, the Christ people. We are the collective body of Christ. And when we rise up and do the work of freedom, justice, and equality, that is Christ in this time manifested. In the second coming, in this time. We must understand that. And we must know that. And we must honor that. And work on that. Now we are in the book of Revelation. This wonderful book written by the divine African apostle John. And we are looking in the book of Revelation with the mind of God, using and going into the mind of God to see the world as it is, this world system, this Roman, American, and British imperial system. Bob Marley said that the book of Revelation reveals the truth. Revolution. It takes a revolution to make a solution. We're going to continue to see that the book of Revelation teaches Mayat. That is a word from Africa, Egypt, our ancestors. The symbol accompanying that word Mayat was a beautiful black woman with wings. And that word Mayat, symbolized by that beautiful black woman, means truth, justice, and righteousness. The book of Revelation offers redemption and salvation to the oppressed, and warning and judgment to the wicked oppressor, the wicked ruling class and ruling families, termed as the wicked in your Bible and in your Quran. The book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, lays bare and uncovers the Roman British American Empire in the age of Obama. We want to look at or mention Obama's speech this week concerning Iraq and Afghanistan and the war on terrorism. We want to look at a United Nations report on Rwanda and the 1994 Rwandan genocide. We want to mention a coalition of African American Muslims coming together to hold a press conference concerning New York Ground Zero Mosque. We want to continue to examine Apostle John's vision in the book of Revelation and go into some of the symbolisms and see what the message is to the churches and the message to the pastors coming from the African revolutionary Apostle John, giving us that message of the African revolutionary Jesus Christ. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ lays bare and uncovers the Roman British American Empire in the age of Obama. That word revelation, where we get the word apocalypse, coming from a Greek word, apokaliptos, if I have it correctly, but that's where we get the word apocalypse. And the meaning is that you uncover, you cause one to see under and behind the veil and see the hidden secrets of a thing. And we are here to lay bare the same Roman British American Empire yet operating in this time and age of Obama. And so we want to take a look and mention the speech given by President Barack Obama the week of the first week of September, the last week of August, concerning Iraq. And I want you to go to Democracy Now, www.democracynow, and the date of this program, September the 1st, and they deal with the speech given by Barack Obama. President Obama declared an end to the combat mission in Iraq Tuesday night in the second Oval Office address of his presidency. Although tens of thousands of U.S. troops and special operations forces and private contractors remain in Iraq, Obama has announced that Operation Iraqi Freedom is now officially over. So Obama has said that the combat operations in Iraq is done, over, but the reality is that tens of thousands of U.S. troops, I heard the number of 50,000, yet remain, and more than likely more, and all of them have combat training. They will be armed with tanks, other modes of transportation that are used to kill. They will be armed with ammunition, guns, and so forth, just like they have always been armed. What is the purpose? Why, if the combat missions are over, are their troops yet in Iraq armed? And they give them other names like advisors and whatnot, euphemisms to cover up the reality that these are yet trained Army U.S. troop personnel trained to kill. Why? They are yet there because the reality is that Iraq has been colonized. This is modern day colonialism, colonization right in front of our eyes. And they are yet there, the United States military is yet there to make sure that the colonialist plan continues. What is the colonialist plan? To take the oil, the mineral resources, the land, and turn them over to the oil and mineral resource corporations of America, Europe, and Israel. This was the purpose of the whole operation in Iraq, going way back to the first Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, down through Clinton, down through W. Bush, and now with Obama. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're laying the system bare. We're uncovering the truth under that which has been hidden from full view. And the Democracy Now! Program goes on to talk about how the military continues to invest millions in Iraq bases. So the bases have not been all destroyed and taken down. There are yet bases there, including the 80 football fields size of the U.S. Embassy. The United States Embassy in Baghdad is the size of 80 football fields. Yet in Iraq, it is a city unto itself. It is larger than Vatican City. And there will be at least 7,000 people in that embassy staffed. And among that 7,000 will be others that are armed and ready to kill to make sure that the program of the Roman British American Empire, Mystery Babylon, that is no longer a mystery when we understand prophecy, is yet continuing all over the earth. In this case, we're talking of Iraq, to take the land, the wealth, the resources, to kill and destroy the people. And let me pause here and say that you are listening to Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. Today, this program is called The Mind of God. And you are listening to thinkaboutit.org. The date of this recording is September the 5th, 2010. And we are yet endeavoring to organize for freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We will ally ourselves with any and all who are standing up to do something for our people, and something for the oppressed, and something for the human family. My beautiful sister, Venice, is my producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator, the coordinator of this website. And I thank my beautiful sister. And you may contact me by emailing yalove@comcast.net. Now we're dealing with the system, using the mind of God to see into this age of Obama. And this program on Democracy Now!, talking about Iraq, President Obama said that the combat operations is done, finished, over in Iraq, mission accomplished, reminds us of what George Bush said some years ago. But we know that it was a lie, that the troops never left. They have been continuing to kill and destroy, even though the president says the combat operations are done. Now, the Democracy Now! Program also goes into what they have entitled the invisible war against Iraq. How 13 years of U.S. imposed economic sanctions have devastated Iraq before the 2003 invasion. So that covers the time period of Clinton. Clinton used crippling sanctions to destroy Iraq, to destroy the people of Iraq, and to continue the process of turning the land, the wealth, and the resources over to America, Europe, and Israel. Now, the next issue I would like to deal with is the United Nations report on Rwanda that is soon to be released to the public. And in the meantime, a portion of that report has been leaked to the public. And the program Democracy Now!, August the 31st, Tuesday 2010, they did a program with that issue being a part of the program. Draft United Nations report accuses Rwandan troops of committing genocide in the Congo. Rwanda is facing an explosive allegation from the United Nations of committing war crimes, and possibly even genocide in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. A leaked report from the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights says that after the 1994 genocide in Rwanda, Tutsi-led Rwandan troops and their rebel allies killed tens of thousands of members of the Hutu ethnic group inside the Congo. And one of our dear brothers, Peter Erlander, is being interviewed discussing this issue. I also would point you to an interview done on Afro Radio on WBAI in New York. Let me see. Oh, excuse me. Afrobeat Radio, September the 4th, 2010. The time slot was 2:30 to 4 o'clock. And our dear brother Keith Harmon Snow was interviewed on the same United Nations Rwandan issue. That's Afrobeat Radio, September the 4th, 2010. WBAI, www.wbai.org, September the 4th, the 2:30 to 4 o'clock time period. Now here is what is going on. When you examine what Peter Erlander said, also examine what our brother Keith Harmon Snow has said, the reality is this. The United States, Britain, or Europe, and Israel backed a coup that occurred in Rwanda in 1994. That coup actually began in 1990. Paul Kagame, who is the president now in Rwanda, began to invade Rwanda from Uganda. Before this time period, Paul Kagame worked for Museveni, Yoweri Museveni, to work on behalf of the corporations of America, Europe, and Israel. Before that time, Paul Kagame was trained in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, to come back to Africa to work on behalf of the corporations of America, Europe, and Israel. So, in 1990, after having served under Yoweri Museveni in Uganda, now Kagame is ready to become a head of state on behalf of America, Europe, and Israel, the multinational corporations. And so, in 1990, Paul Kagame began to invade Rwanda, killing and slaughtering and raping and destroying sisters and brothers in the process. Nothing from the media. Nothing said by the media. By 1994, Paul Kagame has worked his way into the vice presidency of Rwanda. And in April, I believe it's April 6, 1994, with the help of Romeo Dallaire of Canada, Paul Kagame and his forces assassinated Habyarimana, the former president of Rwanda, also assassinated the president of Burundi as they were in peace talks, trying to broker peace, but Paul Kagame did not want peace. So his forces assassinated Habyarimana. Already killing going on through Paul Kagame and his forces working on behalf of America, Europe, and Israel, the multinational corporations. More killings, the instigator yet being Paul Kagame, working on behalf of the corporations of America, Europe, and Israel. So now, he becomes president after the assassination of Habyarimana that Paul Kagame orchestrated. Now they turn towards the Congo and they eliminate Mobutu Sese Seko, who was an Uncle Tom sellout, but he's used up now. And so the multinational corporations of America, Europe, and Israel get rid of Mobutu through Paul Kagame. They install Laurent Kabila. Now, Laurent Kabila, after a time, turns on his benefactors. Laurent Kabila, in the Congo, turns on Kagame, turns on the multinational corporations of America, Europe, and Israel. Laurent Kabila begins to make friendship with revolutionaries, including Fidel Castro. He turns his back on the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank Organization, the World Trade Organization. And so now, the multinational corporations and those that we have just named, Paul Kagame, IMF, WBO, WTO, they now must get rid of Laurent Kabila. So in 1996, Paul Kagame, backed by the IMF, backed by the WTO, the WBO, backed by the CIA, backed by American troops, British troops, Israeli troops, Paul Kagame goes in to the Congo to get rid of Laurent Kabila. And this fight goes all the way to, I believe, 2001. And on the same date that the American government and Britain assassinated Patrice Lumumba years ago, Laurent Kabila assassinated and gotten rid of. And so a man by the name of Joseph Kabila, who is passed off fictitiously as the son of Laurent Kabila, is installed in the Congo. And Joseph Kabila, along with Paul Kagame, have worked hand in hand to destroy our African sisters and brothers. And even though Obama is in power now, or on the seat of power, he's not the power. The Illuminati Masonic Order, the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers are the real power. So although Obama's in the seat, this is yet going on. Paul Kagame and Joseph Kabila are yet killing our people, destroying our people so that the mineral resources can be mined and thieved and turned over to the mineral and resource corporations of America, Europe, and Israel. And so the truth is now coming out even more forcefully. And so now we see that the United Nations is now being forced to tell some of the truth, because the United Nations is in reality working on the same, on behalf of the same multinational corporations of America, Europe, and Israel, and they run cover, covering the atrocities of the Illuminati Masonic Order, the multinational corporations of America, Europe, and Israel. But people like Peter Erlander and Keith Harmon Snow and others are yet telling this powerful truth, laying bare the revelation of Jesus Christ, reveals the hidden truths and lays bare that which has been hidden and propagated as truth. Lies have been propagated as truth. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ comes to give us the truth and lay bare the lie that has been passed as truth, and that lie that has kept the truth hidden from view. And so the United Nations is now forced to tell some of this truth. The next issue, the ACLU is suing the Obama administration over their plan to assassinate United States citizens. Obama, his head of military intelligence, I believe he's yet the head, General Dennis Blair, said in February that they had an assassination plan to assassinate United States citizens that they deemed as terrorists abroad. Black people, African people who know how the CIA and the FBI operates. They will brand you a terrorist when they deem and have determined that you are a threat to their wicked system. And after branding you a terrorist, they will hatch plots to assassinate you. Dr. King, Minister Malcolm X, we can just call the roll. Infiltrate your organization and destroy your organization. Now, one of the fellows that they claim is a terrorist, because you know Islam is the religion that is termed and deemed a terrorist religion by today's powers, fictitiously and purposefully, erroneously and wickedly terming Islam as terrorism, and it's not true. But Anwar al-Awlaki is the new boogeyman that they want to call a terrorist. He is of Arab descent. He is a United States citizen, and they want to call him a terrorist and want to assassinate him. Now, I've heard from a brother, a Caucasian brother by the name of Webster Tarpley, that Anwar al-Awlaki is a CIA agent. Now, if this is the case, he is just being... Now, you shouldn't work for the CIA anyway, because when they feel that you have outlived your usefulness, then they will kill you. And so it may be that he is being set up to be killed, so they can say that they killed a terrorist. But if he is a CIA agent, I would advise all of us not to work for the CIA and the FBI, because you do not know when they're going to turn on you. But in the age of Obama, terrorist plots and terrorist plans by the CIA and the intelligence community in this time. Now, lastly, for this time period, and we're going to break and we're going to come back with part two, there was a press conference held by the Coalition of African American Muslims. Let me see if I can get to some of the names of the people in this coalition. Abdul Jalil Muhammad, Amir Muhammad, Hodari Ali, Attorney Karima Al-Amin, my minister, Louis Farrakhan, Nisa Islam Muhammad, and other wonderful sisters and brothers called a press conference surrounding this Park 51 project, or the mosque project, so-called at Ground Zero in New York. First of all, it's not a mosque per se. It's a utility center for teaching and recreation. The top two floors will have a prayer area, but it's not just a straight-up mosque. And it is not even situated at Ground Zero. It is 2 to 5 blocks away from Ground Zero. But all of this is in reality the Illuminati Masonic Order pushing a fictitious narrative to push our buttons. Those Caucasians, right-wing Republicans, so-called Christians, who are running around calling Islam terrorists, who want to burn Qurans on this year's 9/11, you are all being used by your own people at the top who hate you. Even though you're Caucasian, your own brothers at the top of this Illuminati Masonic power structure hate you and are using you, pushing your buttons to cause you to think that Islam is terrorism. When in reality, Christians and Jews are killing more people on the planet today than anybody has ever dreamed of killing. Now, Christianity is not terrorism, but those in power who claim to be Christians are terrorists. And you who support the war on terrorism are in reality in support of a war of terrorism generated by the Illuminati Masonic Order to terrorize the human family, to terrorize the oppressed, to destroy the human family, and continue to steal land, wealth, and resources, and destroy the human family in the process. You who are in support of the lies being told of Islam, you are in support of the real terrorists, and you must cease. You must stop. Now, this coalition at the press conference made it clear that this attack on Islam is the same attack against African Americans or black people, Hurricane Katrina, Haiti, blacks in Haiti, the same attack on Latinos and other immigrants. This increasingly inflammatory rhetoric and exclusionary politics driving the national debate on immigration. In other words, the same wicked ruling class and ruling families that are working to destroy black people, working to destroy so-called immigrants, specifically Latinos. When the border crossed them, they didn't cross the border. The land is stolen from the red man. The land is stolen from our so-called Latino sisters and brothers. The Illuminati Masonic Order, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class and ruling families are in hatred of all of us. And the attack on one is the attack on all of us. And so we cannot look at this attack against Islam and Muslims. Muslim brother in New York being cut and sliced with a knife by probably a professing Christian who hates Islam. We can't sit back and allow this persecution of Muslims and don't think it's coming after us, because black people are always persecuted by the system. Look at your prison industrial complex. Look at how the police shooting us down every day. So we are always persecuted, and we are the messianic people. We are the Jesus people. We are the Christ people, and it is our duty to stand up against the oppressor and aid and advocate on behalf of the oppressed and the persecuted, no matter their color, ethnicity, race, class, creed, gender, or national origin. We're going to break, and we're going to come back with part two. I will see you on the other side of the break.